Welcome to our teaching today, where Christ's Word is the center of our world. We are about to listen to the undiluted Word of God from the throne of grace with Pastor Philip Ransom Bello.
Come on. Okay, that's fine. Okay, let's start from you. Yeah. We make better choices, okay? Man of God, what do you remember? Godly character, evangelism. Were you in church last week? So you weren't in church, so you streamed? Okay. We make better choices. Okay, streaming is not a better choice, though. And what you told me today is a better choice. Obi decided not to take a job today because she wants to be in the service. And wait. Before you clap, your own temptation will come. I want to clap for you. I want to clap for you. So, but this is what she said. She said she had the option to moving the job to tomorrow. And I cherish that because your deliberateness in doing the things of God and growing is essential this year. Somebody say amen. Amen. Okay, let's move to this side. What were the things we picked? Give me a scripture. Will, give me one scripture from all the points we listed. Yeah. You are representing this whole row. So if you fail, you have failed everybody behind you. No, it's you I'm asking. Will, you are the one I'm asking. What scripture did we read last week? Basi, you can remember the points. What points did you remember? Slow to anger, right? Love for the things of God. Excellent. Daniel? Slow to anger, he has said it. Savior, do you remember a scripture? You remember the point. Okay, give me any scripture. Yeah?
15:16.
Say that again.
Mark 15:16.
What does it say?
So that's the problem. I crammed the sequence, but...
He crammed the sequence, but didn't cram the scripture. Oh, my God. All right. Who has any scripture? Some people are opening their notes. I'm coming to you, my darling. I saw you opening your notes. Tell me what you opened. Since you opened your notes, tell me what you opened. It's on your phone, so what are you opening? I'm checking to see where you can start writing today's message. All right. So who can give me any scripture? Princess, give me a scripture that ties anything we have listed out. Anything that we have listed out.
1 Corinthians 11:1. You become a role model. Imitate me as I imitate Christ.
Ira poko shate. Lovely, lovely. 1 Corinthians 11:1. Let's put that scripture up there. Imitate me as I what? Imitate Christ. So it speaks of being a role model. And we said last week that you are an example. That's one of the words we describe as who a disciple is, right? We said a disciple is an example. Amen? Amen. So imitate me as I imitate Christ. The question is, do you want people to model after you? That's what you should be asking. Do I want someone to copy me? Will I say someone will be growing, copying me? Do you understand? So ask your neighbor, will people grow watching you? Give your neighbor an answer. That's good. That's good. There must be something about you that makes people grow by observing what you have done. Do you understand what I'm saying? So that's discipleship. Discipleship is that when people see you, there's something they are learning from you. Amen. Amen. So everything you do is an example. Everything, let's say that together. Everything I do is an example. So we must be role models. And please, role models are not Instagram celebrities. Can I say that again? Role models are, let me rephrase. Role models are not only Instagram celebrities. Yes, you can have a role model as an Instagram celebrity. There's nothing wrong with being an Instagram, you know, or a public figure. There's nothing wrong with it. But you don't have to be that to be called a role model. So you can be a role model and not even be online. But just know that people around you must see something in you and emulate something that makes them better. Say amen.
Amen.
I give you a gift today. Come and collect it for quoting the right scripture. Praise God. Who else again? Give me, who else? Yes, blessing.
For you have hated iniquity.
Say the scripture.
Hebrews 1:9. For you have loved righteousness and hated iniquity. And now the Lord your God will anoint your head with the oil of gladness even more than others.
Yes, even more than your companions. For you have loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore the Lord your God has anointed you with the oil of gladness above your companions. Amen. And we said, what point was that? Number what? That was number, is this 7 or 8? So we said that it has to be a two-sided coin. The first one is that you love what is right, and the second one is you hate what is wrong. You must have a disgust, do you understand? A distaste for what is wrong. If not, you will never grow. You know, someone can love what is right and still accommodate what is wrong. Should I say that again? You can love what is right and still accommodate what is wrong. And by that, you are not growing. So a good way to grow is to love what is right and what? Hate what is wrong. So let's say that together. I love what is right. I hate what is wrong. All right, so and we also said last week that all our freedom fighters, those who love justice, out for justice, the moment you see something on Instagram, you know it's time to fight for Nigeria. All your senses wakes up. It's time for justice. Please, also hate iniquity. Also hate sin. I said 2 Sundays ago, don't give excuses this year. Please, let me also say something. Don't blame anybody this year. Don't blame anybody this year. Whether it's about your personal life, your finances, your job, or in church, or in the family, don't blame anybody this year. Because one thing about you that makes you grow is your ability to take responsibility. So I don't like blaming people for things. Maybe what you should be asking yourself is, why are you in that position in the first place? Why are you in that position? And if you are in a position, what can I do? Are you following what I'm saying? So don't blame anybody this year. In 2024, don't blame anybody. Even when you are wronged, don't blame anybody. Take responsibility and use that as an opportunity to grow. Regardless of what happens. Amen. So, Runo, I saw your hands. Come on. What scripture? Come. Why are they laughing already? As you are coming, they are all laughing. Everybody's laughing. So tell me, what scripture?
James 1, verse 19. Yeah, be swift to hear. Why are you guys looking at me? Be swift to hear. Slow to speak, slow to anger.
Yes. So when he's telling you scripture that is affecting him personally, we all have. So in my mind, I said, Lord, let this be a reality. Don't mind me, I'm just playing. Praise God. So that's good. I owe you something. There's one nice something. I owe you something. Amen. Who has another scripture? Basi, you want to try again? No more sequence. Of sequence of frequency. All right.
It should be Proverbs 24:10. That if you fail in the day of adversity, your strength is small. If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. That's
now he called the scripture and you went to put the scripture there. Allow him quote the scripture. Funtua. You see?
That that's what the point is.
Okay, that's fine, Basi. Basi, thank you for always trying. Don't you love Basi? He got it right. Amen. Let's put our hands together for him. All right? So be swift to hear and be slow to speak. That's the one Runo quoted. Then the one Basti just quoted now is what? If you fail in the day of adversity, please help my volume just a little bit. If you fail in the day of adversity, it means that you're what? Your strength is small, but your capacity is increased. One of the signs of a growing faith is that you will not struggle when things are bad. And even if you struggle, you'll be standing. You'll be struggling, but standing. You know? That's why the Bible says, having done all to stand. Stand therefore. You see, so it talks about the armor of God. You put the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, the helmet of salvation. Then you shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel. Which one again? The belt of truth. Then he says, having done all to stand. So the purpose of those weapons that helps you fight and withstand the devil is for you to stand. It's for you to stand. So in Christ Jesus, you're already standing. But you need weapons or weaponry to keep standing. So having done all to stand, stand therefore. So one of the markers of, and mark my words, in 2024, there will be many falling away. I was telling my sister in the U.S., I think it was day before yesterday, I said to her, one of the signs of 2024 is that those who are not truly born again will be revealed. Those who will sing our songs, who look like Christians, but are not actually born again. In 2024, there will be a reaction that will be stepped from their inside that will expose them. That's when we will know truly these people are not born again. Some of them will look like pastors. So that's why I'm trying to safeguard your faith to make sure that your faith is growing and you are seeing the signs that you truly have a genuine faith. Do you understand what I'm saying? You know, Paul said something, examine yourself to see if you are in the faith. Because you need to be sure that what you're doing is not a caricature. Your faith is not phony. Your faith is original. If your faith is original, say, my faith is original. And one of the signs is that you'll be standing in the midst of trouble. It's immaturity when a believer is shaking because of adversity. Please, let's spell out adversity. Can we spell it out? Let's spell it out. This revision. What are the things that make up adversity for the upward mobile young man, young lady in Abuja? Let's start from there. Let's start from here. Sweetheart, what? Give me one word. Lack of a job. Lack of money. Lack of food. Princess, you like food. lack of a car. Yes, bad health. House rent. Ah, that's true. Loss of a loved one. He said you copied because give me another one. Ovi, give me another one. She just said lack. Ritnen, give me one. No job. Let's come to this side. Francis. No joy. Unstable relationship. Shake me, Pastor Victor. This one, it they hold people where. Especially people who are very emotional. Now, see, can I tell you something? Don't be too emotional about everything. Be emotional about some things. But when you are emotional about everything, you know there's a problem. There's a problem. It's not good. So you have to be resolute about some things. Okay? You have to be resolute about some things. Not to be emotional about everything. It's not a sign of stability and groundedness. Amen. So that relationship part is important. You see people who love God, just because there's a heartbreak, everything will suffer. Your family members won't hear from you. You will lock yourself in the room. You will quickly look for leave to go on leave. We won't see you in church. See, if the man is going, let him be going. Because the one who God has designed for you will come. And you need an intact self to receive and be with the right person. You understand what I'm saying? So you have to take heed to yourself. In the scripture, one of the things the Bible says you take heed to is yourself first before others. Because if you are not strong, how can you be a blessing to others? So that's why you must feed. Some of you, I had to call you to be in church today. You know, you can't continue. I can't be calling you all the time this year. You have to repent. You have to repent. It's not good. If pastor is worrying about you all the time, then it means you are not in a good place. There are some of you who should be doing what I'm doing now. So, a lack of, all the lacks. Barrister Ben, my South-South brother. Let's celebrate our South-South general. How are you doing? Kai, for the sake of, I want to see your face. You can't, Kai, I love the way, now, don't you love the way he's dressed? A man of God. Hi. So give me another lack. Lack of what? What again? Pastor Paul, give me one thing that really weighs people down. What do you think? They've said a lot.
I think shaky, or let me say unstable foundation. Yeah, so when people have foundation that is unstable, anything can just, because basically as a believer, there are some things that should not shake you, not even relationship. It's the little of it. So shaky foundation, yeah. What I mean shaky foundation, they don't understand doctrines and the word of Christ.
You see what Pastor Paul said? It would take me 2 months to break it down. Because this is actually the foundation of why many people's faith are shaken. This is actually the reason why a lot of people are unstable. You see, and I said something last week, that the word of God is a leveler. You don't need to come from another person's family to be all right. All you need is just let the word of God help you. To just kind of give you some reorientation and relearning. Because, you know, the word, who knows what the meaning of the word repentance is? What's the meaning of the word repentance? What does it mean, man?
Change of mindset.
Change of mind. So repentance is not tears, oh. See, that guy don't repent. You not see as if they cry. No, that's not repentance. Repentance actually means what? Change of mind. So let me ask you a question. Somebody who says, Pastor, I am very sorry. And while he's saying sorry, he's crying. In fact, he's shaking. He's crying. He's sweating in the saying of the sorry. But the person has not changed his mind. Is that repentance? That's not repentance. So repentance actually, repentance is spelled, let me spell repentance for you. C-H-A-N-G-E. That's repentance. So repentance means to change. That's repentance. Amen. So, Pastor Chibuzo, give me one thing. I think I'll stop here. Give me one thing that you believe makes people shake. What is adversity in today's generation?
Everything around, I was actually going to say tonight, the government issues, bad news.
Ah, awesome. Please keep talking.
Bad news around security news, economic news of things going bad in Nigeria. Yeah, everything happening in the nation.
You love your country, wave your hands. Please help my volume, please. So let me tell you something. This was fundamental during the election. And I came back to instruct a lot of you by telling you, you are not of this world. Firstly, the meaning of the word church is a called out people. That's the meaning of the word church. So your first citizenship is that you are a believer. Can I say that again? Your first citizenship is that you are a believer, not you are a Nigerian. Now, if you understand that, you will not be so beaten in your spirit about what is going on in Nigeria. You won't be so weighed down. I mean, you can feel the sadness because of where things are. There's nothing wrong with that. There must be a drive to change things. There must be a drive to pray for your country. But to the point where it starts to affect your peace, it starts to affect your joy, it starts to affect your position in Christ, it starts to affect your commitment towards God, then there is a problem. It means your priorities are already wrong. Are you following what I'm saying? So it's a lot of people, because of what is going on in Nigeria, they just lost faith and commitment. That's a big problem. There was a lady, I was talking to her, and she was crying. I said, why are you crying? She said, because of the state of the country. I said, okay, before you were born, this thing was like this. It may be like this for a very long time. I asked her, what part are you playing? What part are you playing? What's your role as a believer? What's your role? You know, when the Bible says that, when men will say there's a casting down, we will say there's a lifting up. You know what that means? It means that when people are complaining, we are the ones giving people a lifting hand. So your attitude towards Nigeria has to be different because of you being a believer. So you can't let being in Nigeria, being in this country, depress you. You are depressed. You can't eat because you are here. Why? Why? That's what I said. Don't be emotional about everything. Rather be decisive about things. It's better to make decisions. You know, someone can be outside being emotional about Nigeria, and he says, you know what, I'm just going to pack my bag and leave. And there's another person who is not happy with the way things are going, and he's saying, God, give me understanding and light and direction. How can I make changes? Do you know that's better than just being depressed for no reason? Amen, somebody. So don't let the state of Nigeria affect your faith. Don't let the state of politics, governance affect your faith. Amen. And I even said something. Let me go further. If this offends you, praise God. Let me go further. The will of God for a nation is not better politics. Okay? The will of God for a nation, the will of God, I'm not talking about the will of government. Because the will of government is better leadership. And ultimately, I'll connect the dots for you. Let me just follow me. The will of God for any people is that men are saved. That's the first thing, that people are born again. So when you say God is moving in a nation, it first, because there are things that we call first things. Then there are things that follow that first things. That's why the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then all other things. So it's not as if all other things are not important, but there's what they call first things. So the first thing that is important to God is that people are saved in that nation. So when you are saying God move in Nigeria, it's not talking government or leadership first. It's talking about people being saved. Then by extension of people who are saved, people who have the light, it is now to pray that this life that we carry will dissipate in leadership and governance. Are you following what I'm saying? So it doesn't go the other way around. It is this one first and the other afterwards. Are you following what I'm saying? So it doesn't make sense to God when you are praying for good governance and you're not praying for souls. That's not, in fact, you have lost your priority. You have lost your understanding as a believer. Because as a believer, that the first thing to see the way God sees is to be able to understand God's heart for any people. And let me also shock you. God does not have a covenant with Nigeria. God does not have a covenant with the United States of America. God has a covenant with the church. God has a covenant with Christ. In fact, God does not have a covenant with gift personally. You know when people say, I made a covenant with God. No, you don't understand the Bible. That was the Old Testament. It was in the Old Testament people used to make covenant with God. Somebody will rise and say, I want to make a covenant with God, and then you strike a, do you understand? You strike a covenant. That was in the Old Testament, not now. So let me, I will teach you on covenants. I'll teach you on covenants. Are you excited about it?
Yeah.
I'll teach you on covenants so you understand covenants. These are teachings I've done in 2015, but I have to do them again because there are so many new faces. You know, that's why those who have followed TSP are very grounded. Many of them have traveled. Some of them have relocated. Then some of them japad. Amen. But doesn't mean they are not grounded. Amen. But let me tell you, covenant in this dispensation is God who made a covenant with Christ, not with us. Because the one he made with us, we failed. In fact, it wasn't just with us, it was with the Jews. So the Ten Commandments was for the Jews, not for just anybody. You are not a Jew, you are a Yoruba man. You are Igbo, you are from Niger Delta. I hear you, sir. You are from Kogi, you are from Jos, like them Pastor Victor and the rest of them. Okay, Nasara, sorry. You are not a Jew. It was the Jews God made a covenant with. The Jews could not keep up with their part of the bargain. And God said, because you have failed, I will do away with the first covenant and establish the second covenant. And the second covenant is the one he now makes with Christ. And Christ gets 100%. God does 100%. So the covenant between Jesus and God sealed. Then we are now the beneficiaries of that covenant because Christ made that covenant with God on our behalf. Do you understand what I'm saying? So that's why it is not a, your relationship with God is not a bilateral covenant. It's a unilateral covenant. With the Jews, it was bilateral because you have to play a part, then God plays a part. That's bilateral. But unilateral means that it is only God who is playing the part. So you are born again into a finished covenant. You are, the moment you got born again, you just came into what was concluded. You don't understand what I'm saying. It means that there is nothing for you to do. You are in a working covenant. You are in a covenant that is already established. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
This is the gospel. I know there was a type and shadow of this where Abraham, God said to Abraham, cut the animals in two. And then, do you understand? He just gave him the instructions and he did all of that. By law, when you cut animals and you put one part of the animal on the left, another on the right, you are supposed to walk in between those animals caught. And you'll be making utterances saying, so shall my life be. That is, I will be divided in body. Like, my body will be separated and dead. So shall I be if I don't keep my part of the covenant. Is that serious? Is that serious? So, then there will be an umpire. There'll be somebody who is there observing so that there's no wayo. So the two people, the first guy will walk. So shall my life be. So shall my life be. If I don't keep my part of the bargain, he steps aside. The second guy will walk. So shall my life be. If I don't keep my side of the bargain. And anybody who breaks the covenant, it can be equivalent to death. So that's why covenants, they don't play with covenants. Now, when Abraham caught the two animals, while Abraham was about to walk, the Bible says God caused Abraham to sleep.
Yep.
Go and read your Bible. Abraham slept. Siesta. Hey, God. Siesta that did not have end. You know, the kind of sleep that happened to Adam and Eve. Or Adam. Abraham slept off. And by the time Abraham woke up, Abraham saw that God had passed. And God had ended the covenant. And there was no room for Abraham to pass. So Abraham was now wondering, ah, God, how did you do this? Why didn't you let me? God said, no, this one is a type and shadow. That in the coming days, my people called the church will not have to do anything to come into concluded things. Do you understand what I'm saying? So Abraham came into a finished covenant. That's why the Bible says, by two immutable things, which is impossible for God to lie. What are those two immutable things? The oath. The oath is the covenant. And then the promise. Because God told Abraham, you have a child. But God said, so that you don't think I'm boboing you. Let's do covenant. So God used covenant to seal his promise. Because in the language of men, I'm coming tomorrow is not enough. If you say I'm coming tomorrow, you have to give me evidence. Or I will pay you back this money I'm owing you. No, you have to, let's do covenant. So it's not enough. I'm borrowing money, I'm borrowing 5 million from you. Please let me say this. If you want to do business in this church on a large scale, let a leader know. Sorry to die. If you don't want to come and meet me, meet me and ask me, Pastor Phil, I want to borrow this person so-and-so money. Should I? Come and meet me. Don't do things by yourself. When you enter a problem now, you now come and meet me. So let any of the pastors know. Let me know. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah, because I understand the illusion. You are in church, you feel everybody's... Everybody's not well in church, though. Even though it's our church. We're all together. We shall be well. We'd all be fine. Praise God. So you see now that when Abraham gave a type and shadow of the covenant between the church and Christ, God and Christ, he now tells you that the church has nothing to do. So you are not the one making covenant with God. I made a covenant with God that I will not sin. Lord, if I sin, you remove this eye. As you are looking at me now, you know that your two eyes are working. Your two eyes are working. Praise God. So you see, to show that God is not honoring that covenant, what you said you had a covenant with God, that thing did not happen to you. If God wants to be God and hold you to your words, I'll be praying for many lame people in this church. I'll be praying for many deaf people. Many deaf people. Praise the Lord, somebody. Look at your neighbor and say, God loves me like that. Are you excited about that? Okay, so God does not have a covenant with Nigeria. God does not have a covenant with the United States. God does not have a covenant with any country. He has a covenant with his people, his church. So your mindset has to reset. So when we say you are the light of the world, let it now make sense to you. Yes, so that your light is being diffused wherever you are. That is why the Bible says you pray so that the righteous is in power. That's why we pray, that the righteous are in power. Then if the righteous is not in power, you still pray for them. So that the sovereignty of God helps them in their decision making. Praise God, somebody. So you don't become too frustrated with your country to the point where it affects your faith. That's a bad place to be. Please tell three people that's a bad place to be. Tell yourself it's not a good place. It's not a good place. Amen, somebody. And you see someone talking to me about this thing so passionately. Pastor Phil, things are not working. It's so unfair. It's so sad. How much of your faith are you growing? Let's start from there. How much of your faith are you growing? You are the most important thing, you are living it. And then you are coming to a country where things are not under your control. Focus on your faith. Take heed to yourself. Okay? And then to others. And then to the space where you are in. You take heed to yourself. If everything around you is affecting you, you know you are not standing well. If everything around you affects you, if everybody shakes you, if everything that happens and it affects you, you are not standing. Your faith is not on Christ. Your faith is in the wellness of things. That if things are not well, then I'm not well. Are you a believer? You know, I was so pained about this thing during the election. I said, why are people this sweet? You know, and it's gullible. And you see, let me tell you something. I was telling Pastor Ike something yesterday. I said, mark my words. In 2024, you think Christianity is going to be a battle against evil. It's not really so. Only. Christianity now has become a battle against good, but good without God. Yes, because morality will increase. Let me tell you, the world is going to institutionalize things on a moral lane, but it will do so to exclude good from God, so that it will be safe to say, I can be good without God. So when you are telling someone you need God, the person will tell you, I am good, I don't need God. Deep thing, so. I was telling Pastor, I asked him. And you see, the religion of humanism, love for humanity. Love for humanity is not a Christian ideology. Okay, even though the concept is in the gospel, for God so loved the world that he gave. But that is, that. So the worship of self is still not necessarily pointing you to Christ. Because I can love humanity and not know Christ. So you must be careful that your standing on love for people is because you love Christ. And it's because Christ has loved you. And you are somehow connecting this thing of love for humanity to Jesus. If Jesus is not in the equation, love for humanity is not enough. Pastor Paul, this thing is serious. If Jesus is not in the equation, love for humanity is not enough. There was a lady I met. If I mention her name, all of you will know her. You see, and the truth of the matter is, because of how do I put this now? She's someone who is meant to be a spiritual leader. But she got to a place where she started to see the part of the human being that is divine just because you are connected to God. So if you are saying, I am divine, then it means that I can do self-worship. So I asked that question, what is the concept of worship? Because the concept of worship is to point to a creator and one who is bigger than you. So if you now lift the idea of meditation, you lift the idea of meditation to make it look like a self-worship theology that doesn't connect worship to God, you are in error. All of you need to be aware of what's going on in your world, though. Sure, you know. You need to be aware of how the Gen Z's... What's the one coming after Gen Z now? Gen A? What? Gen Alpha. You need to understand how they are thinking. Because you must have a ready defense for the gospel. Are you following what I'm saying? Say with me, say, I must have a defense for the gospel. You must have a defense for the gospel. Because the way they are thinking, that's why I told you, morality will be on the high. And it will be institutionalized morality that excludes God. There's somebody in the Bible who gave us an example of this. And that person is Cain in the Bible. Cain shows us a picture of how you can do sacrifice without blood. How you can be righteous without Christ. Yeah. So that's a type and shadow of morality without Christ. That's why, let me tell you, your religion is not the most... Okay, Phil, say it well. People in our faith are not the most moral people. My Hausa teacher, my math teacher is a Hausa man when I was in secondary school, because... Very brilliant man. Now, this man is one of the most modest person I have ever met. I looked at him and imagine me as a believer. I was probably 14, 15. I was learning virtues from this man. I was learning meekness. When you say someone is meek, you can't even imagine that he can be angry. He's that meek. There's just an air of peace around him. So I'm like, is this the peace of God now? What kind of peace is this? But the guy is just so put together. But you know that because he doesn't have Christ, he's not saved. He's not saved. So that's why your gospel cannot be hinged on morality. Your gospel has to be hinged on the sacrifice of Jesus. what Christ has done for you on the cross. And by implication of his death, it now speaks to your life how you live well. So you don't jump the gun. You don't jump the gun by putting morality first or how people are behaving before the cross. It's the cross that speaks first, and then how you behave follows the cross. You follow what I'm saying? So these things are very important that you understand it. You understand what it means to be in this generation and be grounded in Christ. Somebody say amen. Amen. So I don't want you to fall away. And I said it very keenly. I was telling Pastor Ike, I said, Pastor Ike, watch out. Because people will just be falling away. People will be falling. People will be confused in 2024. People will question their faith. People will be confused. People will not understand the gospel. People will misunderstand God. People will misinterpret God. This is 2024. But there is also a parallel to it. That there will be people who will also get deeper in the things of God. There will be people who will teach others the true way of God. Praise God. So you must be standing. You must not be an emotional believer. You must not be an emotional Christian. You know, I said something to you on Sunday that God is personal, but God is also a God of principles. So as personal as God can be, in that he deals with all of us on a one-on-one basis, but he is so principled that he's not a respecter of persons. The same God, though. The same God. He's not a respecter of persons. So there are certain principles that if you follow them, that's why spiritual things are predictable. You can plan spiritual things and it will work for you that way. Because God is a principled God. But he is also so personal. I was saying to myself, Jesus was walking to where Lazarus was dead. One came to meet him that if you were here, my brother will not have died. And Jesus did not, he didn't even flinch. He didn't move. Then the sister of that one now came and said the same thing. If you were here, my brother would not have died. Jesus broke down and started crying. Same things, but different reactions. So that's to tell you that if it's emotions, God has it all. But when it comes to being principled, he also has it. Be like that. Are you hearing what I'm saying? TSP, are we together? Don't be emotional about everything. Let certain truths, which is coming from the word of God, guide your life. Amen, somebody. Amen. So should we go back to all this? No time again. Okay, so we'll come back on. I mean, I'm going to end in the next 5, 10, 15, 20, 25. 25 minutes, that's quarter two. So we can do and close by. What's the time? Fantastic. So I'll end by 7:45, so that the next, or 7:50, and then 10 minutes we do offering, and then because you laughed, I won't end early. So why do we come to fellowship? Should we start again? Princess, give me one reason why we come to fellowship.
To encourage one another.
Absolutely. Man of God.
To be built up.
Marvelous.
Is that my own?
Obi.
To pray together.
So, the three of them have said the three most important reasons why we fellowship. Three things. The first one, you come to fellowship to worship, to minister to God. That's number one. Do you get it? Then number two, you come to fellowship to be ministered to so that you are built up. Then number three, we're in fellowship to encourage one another. Does it make sense?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so firstly, you're in fellowship to be built up when God ministers to you. You are in fellowship to minister to God. Then you are in fellowship to encourage your brothers and your sisters. That's why you are in church. Now, let's be practical about this thing. What point of the service is the place where you minister to God? Let's break it down. Who would help us? What point of this service? You know what we do in church? The first thing we do in church is praise and worship, right? We do praise and worship. We pray. We share the word, testimonies. We do benediction and, you know, what have you. There are many activities, announcements, amen? It's all part of the service. So what point of the service is building, is ministering to God? Who can help us? The praise and worship, right? So the praise and worship part is ministering to God. No, hold on. The praise and worship is what? Ministering. So when the praise leader is singing, right? And you are worshiping, you are ministering to God. Is that correct? That is the reason why you can't be late for praise and worship. I know you didn't know where I was going. That's the reason why you can't be late for what? Praise and worship. Why are you at the praise and worship today? Did you see how powerfully Becca led and also Peculiar? Now, while they were leading, wait, now it's okay. While they were leading, they led in such a way that it will usher the congregation to worship. So I want you to understand the essence, because if you don't know why something is in a service, you would abuse it. Now, does it make sense? Let's be honest with ourselves. Does it make sense when someone says, I'm not enjoying the praise? So the first question you're asking is the praise for you? Let's bow to you, since it's for you. We bow to you and we honor you. Now, I'm not saying we cannot fine-tune our expressions. Do you get? That's a conversation for in-house. But when it comes to us in the practicality of the worship experience, the way your mind should think is my worship to God. So whether the keyboard is in tune or off tune or gift goes off key, I must be found what? Worshiping. So the first thing you must understand is that the sections of the service that speaks to the different areas of fellowship, I must not neglect them. And one of those is praise and worship. So I want us to build a culture from this year. Let's not neglect praise and worship. I just want to come and hear the pastor preach. That's bad. You are ignoring where you should be ministering to God. Do you understand what I'm saying? You are ignoring where you should be ministering to God. So on Sunday, intentionally be early. So that whilst they are singing songs, you're just lifting hands and you're singing to the Lord. Like today, I can't really remember the songs, but the thoughts are in my spirit. It was something about how wonderful are your works, or wonderful, or something wonderful. Is it Peculiar who was leading? I don't remember. Is it Becca? Said something about wonderful, or wonderful, something about, I don't remember. And when they were singing about the wonder of God, my mind was going to how wonderful God is when he sent Christ to die for me. How wonderful God is where Christ was the wisdom to separating sin from me. So my mind started going to those things, and it was just natural for me to keep singing, Lord, you're wonderful. That's how to worship. So those aspects of fellowship that speak to your ministering to God is important. Now, when you do morning devotion, what are you doing? What are you doing when you do morning devotion? You can be edifying yourself, right? And you can also be ministering to God. So both of them can apply. So you see that. Now, what section of the service speaks to God speaking to you? It can be during praise and worship. While you're ministering to God, God can drop something in your spirit. Has that happened to you before? That can happen. Then also, when the pastor is preaching, you are reading the Bible, you are ministered to. And when you're ministered to, you are being edified. Do you understand that? What portion of the service do we now encourage one another? Testimonies. That's one. Help me again. Who else? Testimonies, when we pray for each other, when prayers are led, that's true. That can happen. Fellowship after fellowship. So the moment service is done, do you know that when you... Now, watch this. Watch this, everybody. Service is done. And immediately you carry your beautiful face and your designer clothes and you move to your car and you drive off. You know you've not sinned. You have not done anything wrong. But if that same you just, if there's an opportunity, do you understand? It's not something, it's not a law. But if there is an opportunity to just be nice to someone and you say hello to the person, or there's an opportunity to give someone a lift, or there's an opportunity, do you understand what I'm saying? And you do that, you have encouraged somebody. So seek for the opportunity to always be a blessing to people. Don't just be too fixed about your home that the moment service is done, I don't want to have anything to do with anybody in this church. You have blocked your chances for that third part. Do you remember the third part for fellowship? The third part where we edify one another. You have blocked your chances for doing that. And for these three things, there are blessings for all of them. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
So the first one is we minister to God. Second one is we are minister to. Then third one, we minister to one another. So these are the three main reasons why we come to church. All right? Praise God. I was going to ask a question, but let me ask three people, and I want leaders to answer so that nobody's under pressure here. I want three leaders to tell me, what do you sense is the direction of the Spirit leading Pastor Phil in this year? What do you sense in your heart? There's no wrong answer, okay? Especially when you've been following my teaching. What do you sense is our direction? My emphasis, what have I been emphasizing on since 2024 started? Pastor Victor?
More of soul winning.
Soul winning. Are we together? So soul winning. Anybody else? I want you to talk, then I would address them.
Spiritual maturity.
Spiritual maturity. Anybody else? Any other leader? Sarah? Walking in love. Fantastic. Basi, you lifted your hands up.
Preparing ourselves against influence, external influence.
Preparing ourselves, so warnings basically against external influence. So let me start from Pastor Victor. Actually, soul winning is one of our major drives this year. Because I want everybody in TSP to be able to produce a fruit. To be able to reproduce himself. To be able to disciple somebody else. Because you are growing when you are able to disciple somebody else. You are not growing if you can't disciple somebody. That is number one. So soul winning is a major direction. So where are all the pastors? Yeah, please, all the pastors. Come and stand in front. Come and stand in front. Pastors, please stand. Pastor Yemi, come. Pastor Ike, come. Where is Pastor Nat? Okay. Bashola, come and stand in front. You are the leader of this community. So, all the pastors, I'm giving you a mandate between now and Night of Solution. Bring a soul that you have won and start to disciple that soul so that we'll lead by example. Pastors' wives, stand up. All the pastors' wives, stand up. Stand up. First lady, including you, get up. She's there making face for me. Praise the Lord. All right. So all of you, all the pastors' wives, come. All of you, come. I will push all of you into ministry this year. Everybody, you do ministry this year. First lady, come and stand in front of them. Then pastors' wives, you stand behind her. So we're all going to win souls this year. Vera? We're going to win souls this year. Somebody say amen. Akuna, leave the toilet. Come. Pastor Nat, where are you? Are you okay? Sorry, brother. Come. Annie, come this way. So the pastor's wife pray every Thursday. They've been doing this for over a year. They spend time. Let me tell you what they do, because I eavesdrop sometimes. Sometimes I'll just open the room, I'll hear my wife. She say, go now. She doesn't want me to hear what they are saying. But let me, what I know they are doing is they're always praying for you. They're always praying for me. They are praying for the church. They are praying for unity. And they've done that for over a year. Every Thursday. They do that. What? Stand behind. All the pastor's wives stand behind her. Akuna, you will fall under the power now. All right? So, how many are we? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. So, 13 of us plus myself, 15. We are going to win souls. Please say amen for us. We're going to win souls. Now, I will teach you the category of people who should be won. There are some people who have never heard the gospel before. Then there are some people who have heard the gospel but are not in any church. They don't go to church. Then there are some people who go to church but they are not serious. Then there are people who go to church but got angry with church and left. So you see, there are many categories. So the one I'm sending them to now are not the last three, is the first one. The ones who have never, that they are not born again. So those are our real children. You know, your real child is not somebody that left another church. Yeah. And out of vex, so hear what I'm saying though. I'm not saying God cannot lead you, because God has done that to me before. God has told me to leave somewhere and go and join somewhere. That was why I left in Benin and I moved to Bishop Wale. That was God speaking to me. But I'm talking about people who are not born again. So I'm not talking about people who just got angry and they are just there to criticize churches and people. And that's not what we're saying. So the target now is that all of you will lead by examples. Okay? And I'm giving you a mandate between now and Night of Solution. Night of Solution is on the 26th. So we are leading by example and we are bringing them. I want to see drunkards. I want to see smokers. I want to see those our dear sisters who are standing in Wuse 2. I want to see that Alaji who is chasing. I enjoy when men look at my wife in the mall. So sometimes I will just allow her go first. I won't behave like I'm with her. And if you see the way some guys will just, they will lit up, like literally lit up when they see her. My wife is fine. She's fine. Blessing from God. So are you getting what I'm saying? So the 15 of us, we're going to lead by example. Leaders, you will follow after this. Okay? You will follow after this. This is how you are growing. How can you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things shall be added unto you? Amen, somebody. Amen. Praise God. So all of us are ministers by... Where's Dorcas? Dorcas is actually supposed to be... Because Dorcas is a HOD. Yeah, so by every standard, Dorcas is acting in like a pastoral function. So where's Dorcas? Dorcas, come. Come and join them. Dorcas, stand behind them. So you are. So 16 of us, we're going to lead by example. Amen. And if you don't know what to preach, I will tell you what to say. Because you must be prepared for soul winning this year. So let's say that together. I am prepared for soul winning this year. Amen. Go back to your seats. Clap for them. Yeah, keep clapping for them. They are leaders by example. Leaders by example. What is that one word that defines a disciple? What is that one word that describes a disciple? What is that one word? I've been saying it now. What is that one word that describes a disciple? Some people are just rubbish. What are you saying? What are you saying? What is that one word that describes? No, I want you to say the one I told you. Don't say the one you read in a book. Example. So are we together? So what is the word that describes you? Who are you this year? I'm an example. So you must know that whatever you are doing, you are an example. So be an example. Do you understand what I'm saying? I like the way all of you have come to church. You know that's exemplary. That's an example. It's an example to do that. It's an example when you pray. It's an example when you do the right things. Because, you know, people are watching you. It's not a good example when you are making excuses. I called someone today and I told her, make sure you are in church. Say, Pastor, I don't think I can make it. You know, she doesn't have understanding. I'm not going to mention her name, but it's the truth. She doesn't. First of all, your pastor called you. It's a privilege that I called you. Then it's a privilege that I give you an instruction. Then when you now say you don't think you can make it for a flimsy reason, it means that you don't understand. That means you can never obey that prophet who said, bring for me first. You argue with the prophet. You say, prophet, you are insensitive. My son is about to die. You are saying, bring for me first. You see, so we have to be careful that our Christianity is not affected by this generation. Let's follow the Bible. Do you understand what I'm saying? Let us follow what? The Bible. Let's not do things as if we're a generational believer. You are a Christian. You are a believer. I called her. I just shook my head. I said, "This I will not call her again." Yes. Okay, I will call her again. I'll call her. If I will call her after service. I'll call her after service. Praise God. So the word that describes you is an example. Say, I'm an example. Now, I told you that in 2024, there are certain things that will show your faith is growing. Do you remember? Let's go over it again. So number one, what did we say? The things that we said must show that your faith... So I said that to show that you are growing in the faith, you will make better choices. So if you were not here on Wednesday, write it down. I make better choices in 2024. All right? 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. We quoted that scripture, right? Media guys, please help us with that. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. Okay? When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. So in 2024, you say I. Say it louder. Say, I will put away childish talk, thoughts, things. You see what I'm saying? So you have to do the putting away yourself. Your decisions have to be better choices. You are making better. That's a sign that somebody is growing. That's a sign somebody is growing. I don't have the time to explain. Then number two, we said what? Your character will be better. It's a sign that your faith is growing. Your character will be better. You know, you can't be rude. You can't be a rude guy. That is, you are rude, or a lady. You are just rude, and you are still rude today. And you're hearing the gospel. Something about you is not changing, though. You're not growing. You can't be impatient, so impulsive. 2022. And in 2024, you are still impulsive. You are still impatient with people. Your character has to be better. Are you following what I'm saying? So it is a sign that your faith is growing. And the source of all of this is the gospel. The gospel, I told Pastor Ike, you know me and Pastor Ike, we talk a lot. I told Pastor Ike, two things the gospel will drive in your life. The gospel will drive your experiences, and the gospel will drive your expectations. The gospel will drive your experiences, and the gospel will drive your expectations. Your experience is your Christ-likeness. That's your experience. Your life's experience. It is the gospel that feeds it. Then your expectation is it should be the gospel that drives it. So that when you are saying, God, do something for me, you are not praying like an unbeliever who is saying, God, do it as if he has not done it. The gospel drives your expectation in the sense that the gospel tells you it's been done, But I need to receive what has been done. So it helps you expect properly. So you are expecting in rest, not in fear or in anxiety. Do you understand what I'm saying? So your character must be better. Say, my character will be better in 2024. And the scripture we quoted was Romans chapter 6, verse 21 to 23. All right? And Romans chapter 8 and verse 13. Romans chapter 8, verse 13. We quoted that scripture. Then number three, we said that you would have what? Love for the things of God. Your love for the things of God should increase. You know, I was talking to someone today, and I told the person, let your New Year resolution be that you would take the things of God more seriously. That's a sign that you're growing. Okay? That's a sign that what? You're growing. And I want a lot of us to do it early in the year. Don't wait till February before you start taking things seriously with God. You see, there are some people, I told them, I said, for you, you must not miss prayer meeting. I told that person. I said, you should not miss prayer meeting because I know it's in that person's capacity to be there for prayer meeting. So I told the person, I said, don't miss prayer meeting. Be there for every service so that you can hear the word of God and then grow. Because these things have a direct relationship with your life. The word of God you hear will affect your life. Amen, somebody. So your love for the things of God have to grow. What scripture did we give? 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. All right? A growing Christian will require fewer prods to do the things of God. That is, I will not need to over-persuade you. It's a sign that you're growing. You know, when the pastor is always persuading you to do the things of God, it means you are still a child. But as you keep growing from January, you will need less push because your heart is already there. Amen. I was telling you how that some of you will be in the middle of serious board meeting conversations on Wednesday morning. You see, serious work is going on. But deep in your heart, there's a longing to be in church in the evening because you just want to come and hear the word of God. There is something about the things of God that is growing in love in your heart. And that's how you should be this year. Amen, somebody. And please, I'm not saying this because I'm a pastor. Before I became a pastor, these were things I had to learn and I had to submit myself to these things. Okay, somebody. So you would what? You would grow in love for the things of God. Let me show you another scripture. Acts chapter 9 and verse 26. Acts chapter 9 and verse 26. There was a woman called Dorcas in the Bible. Oh, hallelujah. Sorry, 36, not 26. I beg your pardon. Acts chapter 9 and verse 36. So there was a woman called Dorcas in the Bible. See what happened to this lady. It says, at Joppa, there was a certain disciple named Tabitha. You see the word disciple? Now this word disciple is not she was a pastor. She's not a pastor. She's not a leader. She was just a disciple. So all of us are supposed to be disciples. Do you understand what I'm saying? So at Joppa, there was a certain disciple named Tabitha, which is translated Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and charitable deeds, which she did. Then look at the next verse. But it happened in those days that she became sick and died. When they had washed her, they laid her in an upper room. All right, next verse. And since Lydda was near Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent two men to him, imploring him not to delay in coming to them. Next verse. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he had come, they brought him to the upper room, and all the widows stood by him weeping, showing the tunics and garments with Dorcas. That's how good works were speaking even in her death. Next verse. But Peter put them all out and knelt down and prayed. And turning to the body, he said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes. And when she saw Peter, what happened? She sat up. Let's see the next verse. Then he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and widows, he presented her what? Alive. Next verse. And it became known throughout all Joppa. Many believed what? On the Lord. Next verse. So it was that they stayed many days in Joppa with Simon a tanner. Next verse. Okay, so I think I missed. So the place I'm trying to show you, there's a portion of the scripture, maybe another incident, that this lady was healed. And the first thing she did was she started to serve. That's where I'm actually looking for. Where is that? That's who now? Okay, that was Peter's mother-in-law, not Dorcas. That was actually Peter's mother-in-law. The moment she got healed, right, she was sick. The moment she got healed, she stood up and started serving. So you know what that said to me? It told me that in the sickness, where her mind was in the service. That's what it told me. That why she wasn't thinking about herself. Because you know your first action after recovery is a pointer to where your mind is. So the moment she got recovered, the first thing she did was to serve. And some of us are looking for every convenient way not to serve. Your love for the things of God have to increase this year. Somebody say amen. Amen. Say my love for the things of God will increase. There was a man in the Bible called Lazarus. And what happened to Lazarus? Lazarus died. There was a rich man. Rich man also died. The rich man saw Lazarus. And the parable says that rich man was begging. Seeing Lazarus in Abraham's bosom, he was begging that somebody be raised from the dead to go warn his brothers who are in the world. That on this side of eternity is not like that. So you know the answer that was given to that rich man. He said, no, there are already people in the world warning your brothers. But it is up to your brothers to discern if those warnings are valid or not. So let me tell you, I am that pastor that is telling you what is most important in your life. And I hope you are listening and you are taking it seriously. Please, I want you to grow in the things of God this year. I want you to be serious with God this year. Make it a New Year resolution. New Year resolutions are not bad. Okay, but don't do it religiously. Do it and you know why you are doing what you're doing. It's important. Your faith must grow. Every morning, you are doing something that speaks to your spirit first before thinking about chasing money. You do that for the rest of your life. Where are you in the spirit? Are you following what I'm saying? A lot of you don't even know yourselves because your true self is who you are in the spirit. You are a stranger to yourself. A lot of you don't know who you are. Praise God. There are a lot of prophets who are looking at me now. There are some of you, you know. Ovie, be on the keys for me. You know that you are a man of God. You know you are a woman of God. You just need to devote yourself. Settle down. Read your Bible and pray every day. Just take time. Read your Bible, pray every day. I called a guy in Calabar. He's a good friend. He's a doctor. And I told him, I said, the government wants to give you something to do in Calabar. But you know that there are human clutches who will not always want these kind of things to work. So the place of your strength is where you are in your spirit, where you are able to silence interferences. So many of you are strong in your spirit, and that's where your real strength is. Do you understand what I'm saying? So you must take God seriously. Some of you are evangelists. You have the ability to speak, and people will just want to come to God. Some of you have what it takes to heal your mom. It's in you to lay hands on your parents and heal them and not to be acting as if you are helpless or hopeless. You just need to grow your faith. So this is one of my heart cries. Who said spiritual maturity? Blessing. It is. So if you really are hearing what I'm saying, it's my heart cry for everybody in TSB that you become spiritually mature. You are not a nepios. You are not a baby. You put away childish things. Pastor Victor said evangelism, right? Man of God, what did you say? Okay, was it you who spoke? The things that are in Pastor Phil's heart. Who said? Okay, Sarah, where's Sarah? Walking in love. Basi, what did you say? Be careful with external influence. So don't catch the disease of the world. Shield yourself. Okay? And one of the ways you protect yourself is with programs and weekly activities that helps you refocus you. Because if I leave you to yourself, I'm telling you, if I leave you to yourself, let me not even speak as if I'm condescending. If I leave me to myself, I will not like what I'm doing. Because some of the people that I'm leading are very wonderful. If I leave me to myself, I will not like what I'm doing. So I have to always refocus myself by looking at the things that matter. One of it is I refreshing myself with the word of God in prayer. I sanctify myself. That's what Jesus said. You remember that scripture of man of God? He says, because of your sakes, I sanctify myself. That's Jesus. So if I leave you to yourself, many of you will just lose guard. Proper lose guard. You will miss it. You'll just be an angry person. We haven't finished though. Okay. Number four, we said what? Embrace evangelism. Mark 16:15. So basically it wasn't 15:16. It's 16:15. Sequence. Then number five, we said become a role model. 1 Corinthians 11:1. Then we said number six, hatred for sin. Hate what is wrong. Say with me, say, I will hate what is wrong. Listen to me. Don't because of hustle be doing what is bad. Don't because of hustle do what is bad. No, hate what is wrong. Allow God favor you. And it doesn't mean that wicked people will not bless you. God will raise. One of the signs that you are blessed is because bad people are blessing you. If occultic people, if womanizers are not favoring you, maybe you are not really blessed. I'm not playing. See, if bad people, do you know who blessed Israel? Who blessed Israel? Which human beings did God use to bless Israel? The Egyptians. You think Pharaoh loves God? God forced the resources out of Pharaoh's hands and he took, they didn't know when they were giving the Israelites their gold and their silver. They were giving it, it says, be going. So one of the signs of the blessing on your life is that bad people will just be blessing you. But doesn't mean you will compromise, though. But they will be blessing you. Talk to me, somebody. The amen is reducing. Amen. The wealth of the Gentiles will be transferred to the church. Praise God, somebody. So we said number six, hatred for sin. Number seven, perseverance in adversity. If you notice, I have not said anything new. All I did was what? Say what I said last week. And when you come back next week, I will say it again. Then if we have time, we'll now be adding more. Because I want you to do this one you are hearing. Do this one you are hearing. For you not to even be able to remember what pastor preached on Wednesday, you know there's a problem. You're not going back to your notes. So go back to the notes and study. That's why you're writing them. Go back to the notes and study them. Amen, somebody. So bow down your heads and say, Lord, speak to me. Give me the grace. Give me the grace to mature. Give me the grace to increase in my faith, to grow in my faith. Help me that I become a better person this year. Let the signs of the gospel, the fruit of the gospel be evident in my life. Let the fruit of Christ be evident in my life. I make certain decisions by the help of the Holy Ghost, by the help of the Spirit, to do what is right, to stay in what is right, to amplify my faith, to amplify my voice, to seek the things that are lovely, that are edifying, that are a blessing. Help me, Lord. Help me, help me, help me. I receive grace today. For in Jesus' name we pray. Now, if you know that you are blessed tonight, clap your hands and give the Lord some praise. Give the Lord some praise. Praise the Lord. Let me prophesy. Lift your hands. I feel an urge to prophesy. I prophesy in the name of Jesus that you will come into your complete stature. Amen. process what I just said. While your hands are lifted, just process it. Process it. You will come into a complete stature of who you are. Pads. Of who you are. Of who you really are. A complete stature. In terms of your finances, in terms of your ministry, in terms of your family, in terms of who you are in this country, in terms of your health, in terms of your personal life and development, you come into complete stature. You cannot be small. You remain bigger than you were. You will be bigger than how you were yesterday. Your best days are still ahead of you. I prophesy in the name of Jesus that your ministry will unfold. The gifts of the Spirit will be activated. The fruits of the Spirit will be activated in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to shout a loud amen if you believe it. Amen. One more time, clap again. Clap your hands and give God praise.
This concludes this message. Thank you for listening. And for more information about the Standpoint Church, visit our social media platform on www.facebook.com/standpointabj, twitter.com/standpointabj, instagram.com/standpointabj, and on soundcloud.com/standpointabj.